Kathy and I were sent here 14 years ago to preach the word and love the people. And today, God sent Don and his family, Amy, Grace, and Ruth and DJ, to preach the word and love the people. They've been loving on you with their music today. And I was blessed beyond my expectations. I know Rebecca and Frank were talking you up, but you know, we hear things all the time. And then you all showed up and brought Jesus with you. And I thank you for that.
Yeah. Thank you.
I thank you for singing scripture. The word was preached already, whether I say another word or not, whether I open these big, beautiful, large print, super giant print Bibles or not, the word has been preached. From if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked, evil ways, then I will come to them and I'll heal their land. And then the Karen Lafferty song that you did, Seek Ye First. Kathy and I had the privilege of meeting Karen Lafferty years and years ago. I don't know how many years that was. It's got to be 46, 45, somewhere up there, yeah. And she came to our little church in Nevada City, California, and played and sang for people. And each time I hear that song, seek first God's kingdom and His righteousness, and then all these things will be added to you. It's, you know, ask, knock, receive. God is not trying to hold back. And today He let His blessings flow out, and for that I'm very grateful. I'm hoping that I'm going to be able to speak really quickly, and then you all will have time for one more song, so be thinking about what that one song would be to close us out. And even if I talk too long, we can wait around. Nobody's in a rush to jump out the doors. If you do have somewhere you need to go, feel free. There's no judgment. We lived on Anderson Island for 16 years. Sometimes people would leave the service early, and occasionally a guest preacher would get upset, but it's like they had to catch the ferry. They had somewhere they had to be. And, you know, so God knows where you need to be right now. If He wants you here, you get to be here. That's pretty cool. I am going to... better turn this back on, a quicker thing, right? And hit the screen here. The sermon today comes from Luke chapter 20, and we're just doing the first 8 verses. And the question, what authority? These Pharisees and scribes and religious attorneys were following Jesus all over the place. And they kept trying to find fault with them. You know, last week we read about how the triumphal entry, Jesus is coming into the city of Jerusalem. He's been heading towards Jerusalem for a long time. The crowds have been growing. People are following Him. They're shouting. They think that He's going to become a king right then and there. And they're so thrilled. And these Pharisees kind of pull them aside and say, hey, you need to tell the crowd to be quiet. And Jesus' response was, if they're silent, the rocks will cry out. And Jesus, from the very beginning, way back in Luke 5, it talked about how He spoke, and the people that heard Him recognized that He spoke with authority. And His authority has been obvious as He's healed people along the way, as he's cast out demons. He's demonstrated His authority again and again and again. And these Pharisees that want to be in charge and think that they're in control of their own lives keep questioning the authority of Jesus Christ. And here we are. He's entered the Passion Week. Jesus is getting ready to go to the cross. He knows exactly what's going to happen, even though a lot of people around Him still think that He's going to overthrow the Roman rule and take over. And there, many of them were following Him for the wrong reasons, but let's just jump into the text. On one of the days while He was teaching the people in the temple, remember it said that He was daily going to the temple and teaching. Of course, one of the times He goes to the temple and sees all of the money changers there and the ones that thought, let's make a profit out of the whole sacrificial process. Let's exchange currency and sell approved animals so that they can be sacrificed. And people were making great profit off of this. That's part of why the religious leaders were upset with Jesus. Not just jealousy of the people following, but they're starting to lose some income. They're starting to lose some of their power and what they think is their authority. And so he's teaching in the temple and preaching the gospel. He's preaching the good news. The chief priests and the scribes with the elders confronted him. They've been holding back a little bit. They've been trying to confront him on a regular basis. But at this point, they realize they're losing control of their empire. And so they try to approach Jesus. They confront him, and they declared, saying to him, "Tell us by what authority you are doing these things, or who is the one who gave you this authority?" By these things, I think specifically they're saying, "Yeah, how dare you take away our income? How dare you cast out the money changers and those that are profiting us?" And so they're coming to Jesus and questioning his authority. I don't have to even turn the slide to get you to contemplate. It's like, okay, they're talking to God and saying, "What gives you the right? Is there something wrong with that picture?" And before we get too judgmental, how many times have we gone to the Lord and tried to correct him in our prayers and advise him on what he should be doing and how he should be doing it? He replied to them, "I will also ask you a question." Oftentimes when they came to him, he would just reply with a question. "And you tell me, was the baptism of John from heaven or from men?" That's not the first thing I would have thought of if I was God, and if I'm, here's Jesus walking along the road, he's done all these things, and he's asked, "Well, what authority do you have to do what you're doing?" And my response would have been, "Well, I'm God." And by the way, did you see me heal these people back here, those lepers that were shouting out to me, and they went away healed? And that blind guy that couldn't see, and now he can. And the lame person that couldn't walk, and now he can. And oh, by the way, Lazarus that came into town with us just recently, this week, and he was dead, but now he's alive. And you're asking me what authority? I think I've demonstrated that authority. I think I've shown you. And I probably would have been in a really long argument with these religious leaders. And yet Jesus kind of humbly just asked them, "Well, tell you what, I'm going to ask you a question. This guy, John the Baptist, John the Baptizer, when he came, was he from heaven or from men?" I think that would be an easy one to answer too, if you're trying to be honest. It's like everybody in Jerusalem came out to see him. Lives were changed. People were excited to know that this is a true prophet that is proclaiming the coming of the Messiah. And he even pointed them to the Messiah, and that was Jesus. And so everything's kind of falling together, and people know it. Instead of just answering him, they discussed among themselves. They have their little powwow over in the corner. Here's a problem. If we say from heaven, he will say, "Well, why did you not believe him?" And you know that he was from heaven, and you should have just believed John. But if we say from men, all the people will stone us to death, since they are convinced that John was a prophet. There's something that we keep seeing again and again from these Pharisees. They have fear of man. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, but they have fear of man. They have fear of what are the people going to do to us. We'd really like to kill this Jesus guy, but we can't do that publicly now, because what would the people think? And they're trying to find a way to turn everybody against Jesus. And they keep trying to twist things and make him look bad. And that eventually, before this week is over, he's going to be hanging on a cross for you and for me. Yeah. So they've got it figured out. They can't say that he was from heaven, And they can't say that he was from men. So they go back to Jesus. They answered that they did not know where it came from. And Jesus said to them, neither am I telling you by what authority I do these things. It's like, you're not being honest with me, people. And Jesus would have been happy, I think, at that point to tell them, yes, he was from heaven, and you can have eternal life, and all you've got to do is accept. You know, Jesus was never trying to make the Pharisees look bad. They did a really good job of that on their own. His heart was for all the people. His heart was to see them changed. And yet he also knew the outcome. He knew what was going to happen. That's pretty short, right? Father, we're grateful that we know that Jesus comes with full authority, King of all kings, Lord of all lords, Master, Savior, Messiah. If we question your authority ever, God, convict us and forgive us as we confess our sins. We're grateful, Lord, that we recognize your authority. We know that when we go out into the world, we can speak with your authority only because you've put on us the label of redeemed. You have clothed us with your robe of righteousness. You've helped us move beyond ourselves and into your goodness and your peace and your mercy and your grace. And we love you, Lord, so much. Help us never to question your authority. And for those around us that do question, Lord, help us to be humble and gentle like Jesus and respond in a way that hearts can be changed. Amen.